Well, thank you. Thank you for your warm expressions of support to us, and we truly are blessed. I can't get started on that because that just won't end well for me to try to communicate everything I'm feeling, but we really do appreciate your support. You bless us tremendously. So I'm excited this morning and that you're going to get to hear from Jason and Vanessa, whose pictures are up on the screen. They're with us. They were here last week. They're leaving soon, I think about a week from now, to go back to return to St. Croix. So you'll get to hear from them in just a few minutes. First, I've invited Jenny Hoover to come on up and just mention, we hadn't mentioned this in the announcements this morning, but just to have her remind us of what's happening tonight. So just go ahead and say a few words, and then the whole reason behind the fundraiser, your work and what you do. Okay?
Thank you. First of all, I just want to say thank you. Living Hope has been supporting me and my ministry, and I just really appreciate that, so thank you. Last year, we had our first barn dance fundraiser. Chris is laughing at me for some reason. Okay. I had to make sure everything was okay. We had our first annual barn dance fundraiser last year, and I thought it was a lot of fun. You went.
It was awesome.
It's a hot dog bar, a candy apple bar. There's popcorn. There's a place for movies. Our caller is a lot of fun. If you have no idea how to square dance, he'll teach you. And we do some line dancing, too. And it's going to be chilly tonight, but the barn is heated. So if you do decide to come and you're worried about freezing to death, don't worry about it. Anyway, so it starts tonight at 6. It's in Marietta, Mount Joy area at the Kiefer Farm. There are sheets out at the welcome desk that you could pick up that has the address on it. And it's just by donation. So if you have a dollar, bring a dollar. If you have more, you can bring more. Anyway, invite friends, come join us. It's really a lot of fun. And then Global Disciples. The reason I'm doing this fundraiser is I have been a missionary with Global Disciples for about 8.5 years. That's actually what brought me to Pennsylvania from Colorado. And we work with discipleship mission training, business development, and leadership training all around the world. Similar in some ways to what YWAM does. We work indigenously, though. We work with clusters of churches around the world to help them do discipleship training, church planting, and leadership training. So it's a lot of fun. My particular job... I just work part-time now that we have kids, but I release seed funds to help these programs get started. So I do a lot of reporting and finances, and I spend all of the money at our ministry, basically. So anyway, yeah, so it'd be great fun to see you tonight. We'd love to have you, and if you have any questions about the ministry, obviously you can talk to us about it.
Thanks, Jenny. Thanks. It's a great way to support Jenny in her ministry, and I was there last year. It was my first barn dance ever, and I didn't know what to expect, but it really was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun, so it's a great family night. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, that would be a great opportunity. Before Jason and Vanessa come, just a few comments of just sort of tying together what the series, the sermon series, and just the emphasis that God is leading us through and connecting that to the morning. We've been working here through a focus on the Holy Spirit, and it's called Jesus in Me. And I've shared a couple points or a couple times along the way that to me, it's helpful when I think of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Jesus. You know, the whole Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit are all interwoven. There's really no difference between them. So Jesus in me, and we've been talking about that. You know, what does that look like when we're hearing the voice of the Father through the Spirit and we're surrendering to that? So really, when the subject goes to missions in any form, any type of mission work, ideally, is an expression of the Holy Spirit in several ways. First, it is the expression of an individual responding to a call of the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to serve me here. I want you to serve me in this way. I want you to serve me in this context. It doesn't have to be away from home. It might be, as in Jason and Vanessa, it is. It's quite some distance from where they call home. But it doesn't have to be that. It could be in your workplace. It could be in your neighborhood. But any form of mission, ideally, should be a response to the voice of the Holy Spirit, a response to the voice of Jesus. And then as you serve, wherever that is, if it's in St. Croix, if it's in your workplace, if it's in a soup kitchen, wherever that is, this goes back to one of the core messages of the whole discussion of the incarnational church. As a follower of Jesus, Jesus is in you. So wherever you go, he is there with you. So when you serve in missions, wherever it is, whatever that context is, you are introducing Jesus to that place because he is in you. So that, too, is a powerful expression of the ministry of the Holy Spirit through mission work. Whatever that is and whatever the context is, Jesus is with you. So I would encourage you this morning, even as Jason and Vanessa are sharing about, and I've asked Jason and I think Vanessa may as well, just to begin by talking about that call of the Spirit on their lives to this particular role. And then just as you listen through that, as you listen to that unfold through the morning, just to be sensitive, what is God calling you to right now? What are those questions he's holding in front of you? What are those opportunities he is making you aware of? And how will you respond to that? It's an invitation from Jesus to partner with him in mission, wherever that is. So Jason and Vanessa left to go to St. Croix about a year ago. It was right after Thanksgiving, I think, right? So about the end of November. So it's basically been a year. Now, they were back very briefly early in the summer, but this sort of marks their one-year completion of this commitment to St. Croix. And I'd like to say they'll be returning in a little over a week, but I was really excited that we could have them here this morning. So I don't know, Jason, if you're starting or however you're doing this, I'm just going to hand the mic over to you. Leave the mic up here. And let me pray. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we are so blessed to have Jason and Vanessa with us this morning and the opportunity now to hear how you're working through them, to hear about the Spirit of Jesus leading them, working through them, God, and just bless them this morning, Jason, Vanessa, Hannah, Sophia, as they share what you're doing, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to just bless them and encourage them in this time. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right, is this... Yeah, it's working. Okay. I'm going to have Hannah and Sophia come up, and Vanessa. First, the girls, Sophia really wants to go to her Sunday school class. So they have some things to share. We were going to do it a little bit later, but we want to get her to Sunday school. So they're going to share a little bit. They want to share just a little bit about what their day looks like in St. Croix, a normal day for them, and something that really sticks out to them, and maybe something that they really don't like about being in St. Croix. So they're going to, and a verse. They want to share a verse with everyone, too, about what they're doing there. So, Sophia, would you like to go first? Okay. Why don't you hold this? Now, I said they want to share. I need to correct myself. This is part of their homeschool. So I said they need to share. So they wanting to share and needing to share is a little bit different. So they didn't have a choice about sharing this morning. So... But they're excited to do it now that we're doing it. So do you want to tell us a little bit, Sophia, what a normal day is for you? Go ahead. What do you do in the morning when you get up from bed?
I do school.
You do school, right. And you do it right at home, don't you? Mm-hmm. Who's your teacher?
My daddy.
Okay. And what do you like? Is there something that you really like about school?
Math.
Okay, we like math. Good. We're doing really good with math. What do you do after school? What time do you usually finish school?
Lunchtime.
Mm-hmm. We're usually done around lunch. And then what do you do after school in the afternoon?
I play with the kids.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Sometimes you help in the garden, don't you? Mm-hmm. What do you really like? What's your favorite thing about St. Croix?
That I get to go to the beach.
There we go. And what do you not like about St. Croix? Is there something that you really don't like about St. Croix? You like everything about it? Wonderful. And do you want to share a verse? Can you share your verse with us?
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment and the promise, that they may go well with it and have a long life on the earth.
Good job, dear. Thank you for sharing. You can, if you want to go to your class, you can. All right, Hannah's also going to share what her day looks like, and she's going to share some things she likes and dislikes also. Okay. Go ahead, and what does your day look like, Hannah?
I usually wake up in the morning, make my bed, and then I eat breakfast and get dressed, and I go to school at home in the kitchen table, and then I eat lunch, and I play or walk around the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. What are some work projects? Hannah's very helpful around the property. She does a lot of work with different of our staff members. She's really good about kind of helping out where anybody needs help. So what are some of those things that you usually help with?
I usually work in the kitchen, help with the pool, or work in the garden.
Mm-hmm. She's been doing a lot of different projects for us. And what is something that you don't really like about St. Croix?
I really don't like the rooster under my window that wakes me up in the morning.
He kind of lives right outside our house, doesn't he? And he likes to crow pretty early and wake you up.
Yes.
And something you really like about St. Croix?
The weather.
The weather. All right. And did you want to share a verse?
Leviticus 19:2. Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, dear. You can go sit down.
Do you want me to sit?
What's that? You can stay up here with me. All right, well, I want to thank everyone. It's good to be home. You know, we really feel everyone's support, you know, the church's support there in St. Croix. We have a really good church that we're plugged into in St. Croix, but it still really feels good to be back in your home church where we've been a part of for so many years. And we have a lot of friends and family that came today, and we really appreciate you guys taking the time to come this morning and be a part of this. It really is a blessing to us. So filling in a little bit with continuing on with what Ron was saying about kind of how we got to this point and how the Holy Spirit was working in our lives to go into the mission field. When I was growing up, my parents were in the mission field. They were in St. Croix, actually. So I kind of had missions all around me from when I was a child. And I was a part of Youth with a Mission has a program called King's Kids, which is, you know, for younger children. And I was a part of that. I went to just some different places through King's Kids. And so I kind of had this feeling, you know, that this was really a part of my life. And as I grew up, we moved back here and kind of fell away from that. But when Vanessa and I got married, we had met when I went to St. Croix in 95 to do my discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. That's where Vanessa and I met each other. And things progressed in our relationship. And, you know, as we talked about getting married and something, we had always felt that missions was a call on our life. We felt God was saying, you know, once you guys are married, I want you to go into the mission field and be a part of that. Well, it took a while till we got to that point. After we got married, you know, we went through some detours and just some different things, you know, building our relationship together. And we kind of always had in the back of our mind that it may be something that God wants us to do. But my personal side of that, I really struggled with it because I never really felt that I had, you know, I saw people in the mission field that they're preachers or, you know, they're really good at public speaking or really good at witnessing or really good at, you know, handiwork. You know, these groups would come and do these great projects, service projects. And, you know, I'm not a carpenter. I don't do well with building things. I'm not, you know, I don't have a lot of these skills. And so my excuse, I always made these excuses. Vanessa kept, you know, pushing me a little bit, saying, when are we going back? You know, this was the thing that we had said when we got married, that we were going to go back into the mission field at some point. And so there was always this hesitation, and most of it came from me, where I just said, I don't know how God can use me. You know, I don't know what he has in store for me or what I have to offer. Vanessa has all these wonderful skills in the kitchen and cooking, and she's wonderful in relating with people. And so I just kept making up all these excuses. But finally I realized, you know, finally we got to the point where the calling was so strong. The Holy Spirit was just saying, you know, it's time to go. And I just had to step out in faith and say, okay, I'm going to go. I don't know where God's going to use me. I don't know how God's going to use me. And some of you even remember last year when we were getting ready to leave, we had a commissioning service here and we kind of prayed about things. And I just wasn't sure where my role was going to be. But as you'll hear some of the things that we talk about today, some of the different ministries, I've been blown away in the past year how God has used me in different situations and brought things out that I would have never imagined I would be doing or being a part of. And so it's really encouraging, you know. Ephesians 3:20 is a verse that God, you know, really gave me the last year. It's now to him that is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And so taking that step of faith, you know, just taking, you know, more from my wife's, you know, pushing me and feeling God's call, just taking that step and saying, all right, Lord, I'm here. Use me. I don't know how you're going to use me. It's amazing what he brought to the surface in the last year. And so I'm excited to share a little bit about that with everyone today. And maybe Vanessa, you want to share a little bit about how God got you to that point?
I have to use this thing. From my perspective, I was called pretty young. I mean, I was probably 16 when God was very specific to me that he wanted me to be in missions. Not only by scripture, by confirmation. God made it really clear to me. And I think stepping out in faith was not I had a mother that was very, well, if that's what God is saying, do it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not sure. But she's like, do it. But at the age of 17, I graduated from high school, and I actually went right into missions. I was involved with Kin's Kids, actually, in Puerto Rico years prior to that. And Kin's Kids is a little bit more of a discipleship for children. So I think having all those pinpoint things that I learned, that I step out in faith, I went into missions. Yes, in missions, I met my husband. And like Jason said, you know, we enter in a relationship. God, you know, brought us to get married. And the other side of the coin for me is that I knew what God have called us to do. And I'm more of let's go, let's go, let's go, where the detours, I find them that it was more our own doing of making choices that didn't brought us to go to missions early enough. But the Holy Spirit knew that if we would have left to missions really early, we probably would have not make it. So in my perspective, God just said, you need to pray. And I did that for solid 15 years. And I count the day saying, I don't like when people say, well, God doesn't hear my prayers. God has a timing. Because God has a timing. It could be a month, 3 months. 3 years, 5 years, in our case, 15, where I faithfully just let it God, just said, okay, God, it's you. So 15 years later, God worked enough in my husband's heart that my husband said, okay, let's go. And we stepped in faith. I mean, this is absolutely always stepping in faith.
Yeah, and it's neat, you know, even though it took a while to get to that point, God is still faithful to use us then when we're ready to go. You know, when we're obedient to what God's saying, he's going to use us, even if we're stubborn and we're not, you know, at where he thinks or where we think we should be. God still was really faithful to us and has really begun to use us where we're at. So it's exciting. So I want to give a little bit of just a background on St. Croix. Do you have anything else to share? Sorry. Okay. Give you a little bit of a geography lesson just so we can see where St. Croix is. It's one of the U.S. Virgin Islands down there past Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico. You can't even really see the little dots. It's that small. But it's out there in the middle of the ocean. Someone asked me if we can see Puerto Rico on a clear day. And yes, on a very clear day, Puerto Rico, I think San Juan is about 90 miles from where we're at. And so on a really nice day, you can see the other Virgin Islands, like St. Thomas and St. John. And you can see over to Puerto Rico on a nice day. So that gives you a little bit of a view where we're at. In St. Croix, we drive in the left lane. So a lot their motto or slogan is life in the left lane there. It is 24 miles long. It's very, very small, about 6 miles wide, 24 miles long. So we have a population of about 35,000 people there. We had some people leave over the last year. We had a big oil refinery. It was one of the largest in the world. And it closed down, I would think, last summer probably. Yeah, about a year and a half ago it shut down. And that employed over 3,000 people on the island. So with all the people leaving from the oil refinery and you know, their spouses, jobs that it created, everyone's leaving the island right now. So we only have about 35,000 people there. It is English-speaking. We have some Spanish, a good mixture of Spanish, but mostly English-speaking. And then, yeah, the difficult economy right now. A lot of other businesses have shut down because of the oil refinery closing. The hospital's short. We're down to about 20 beds in the hospital. 20 beds for 35,000 people doesn't really add up.
And you have to visualize it. Think of LGH only running.
It's a big hospital, yeah.
Running a quarter only of what is supposed to run.
Yeah, they're only running about 25%. And they lost like 60 to 70 nurses last year and doctors just all up and left the island. Even doctors with personal practices are leaving because it's hard for them to get paid. Insurances aren't covering things in St. Croix, and it's just difficult. So everyone's just kind of leaving the island right now. So it's really difficult. Our electric, some of you know that came down to visit us, you heard all about our electric situation. We're running about 54 cents a kilowatt there, which is at least five times what we pay here in the States. Some of that's because the hospital hasn't paid their electric bill in a couple years, and they owe probably... I don't know. I think they owe millions of dollars in electric bills.
So we have to pay.
Yeah, so they raise the price on everyone else. But it's government-owned, so the government doesn't collect from the hospital because what are they going to do, shut the only hospital down? So anyway, we're with Youth with a Mission. It's Youth with a Mission is over 1,000 locations in 180 countries. Their motto is to know God and to make him known. This was who... When I was growing up in St. Croix, I was a part of that with my parents. And Vanessa had said you were in King's Kids and you were a part of in Puerto Rico.
Because Puerto Rico has a base. A lot of the Caribbean islands do have, we call them base. I know people like, oh, you're in the military.
Yeah, no. If we say a base, it's where we live.
That's part of the way they just speak and say it's that's the base. So I went to the one in Puerto Rico to do King's Kids, so...
So YWAM St. Croix has been there at that property for about 25 years. Again, that's where I grew up, and a lot of you got to visit, and I think in March some more of you are going to get to visit us. So it was an old slave plantation. They purchased the property and restored it, you know, into something for God's use, and it's been a place for people to come for healing and restoration and training and teaching and sending people out. It's really a neat property. Can see the old sugar mill there that was used to produce. What's that? Yeah, you can't really see our house, but we're down at the end of that driveway there. If you can see the little white building in the back, that's where our house is. We don't have a really good picture of it, but yeah, that's the sugar mill that was used to produce the sugar. From they would bring sugar cane in and work there. That's our basketball court and part of our field. So the ministry, you know, YWAM St. Croix, like I said, has been there for 25 years. It's really gone through some ups and downs. But in the last year, when we went there last year, how many people were on staff full-time? Yeah, I think
two
there
people.
Was two full-time staff there when we went last year. And now we have a group. We have 10 children. We have five families. We have three single staff, a total of 10 children. So we have quite a big group, and then we have two more that's joining us here in January. So it's really neat. God has really, you know, it wasn't just us he was calling at this time. You know, he was calling a whole lot of people to St. Croix because he has some really neat things in store. You know, we talk about the difficult economy and everything, but we really sense that when people are going through the hardest time there on the island, that's when God can use us the most, you know, with different ministries. And I'll show you some pictures of the different ministries we have. But it's really a neat time that just walking around town, you know, we talk to everyone and they're like, oh, it's terrible here. You got to get out of here as fast as you can, you know, just leave everything and go. But we have all these people coming to join staff in St. Croix, and we're like, no, this isn't the time to run. This is the time to stay here and really, you know, God has some really neat things in store. So it's been exciting for us to see our group of, our kind of our family. You know, we live with these people. We work with them every day. And so that's, yeah, we eat dinner with them, and we're together pretty much all the time. So that's our new family for now. You have something?
No, that we have had a lot of, even from the locals, criticism. Why are you here? Like, things are terrible. You came on the wrong time. That's always what they say. You came on the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And we always have to say, no, this is the right time. This is the right time that God have allowed for people to come and just make a difference and make a change. So
some of the ministries, we'll kind of give an overview of the ministries that we're involved in and what Youth with a Mission is doing there in St. Croix. The big one that a lot of YWAM places do is the Discipleship Training School. They run them in pretty much all their locations across the country. But we ran a Discipleship Training School last year. Vanessa and I were part of the staff. And then I led the outreach we went to St. Kitts and St. Lucia. So the school itself is a five-month program. We have 3 months of training and teaching. Dick and Lois came and spoke. Last year, I know this year, my brother Jared's coming down to speak.
And they're coming again, so
yeah,
I'm
Dick
really
and Lois
excited.
We'll be speaking again at this year's school. So it's we get speakers from all over, and they come, and usually for a week they just train and talk about different subjects. And then we have a two-month outreach where they pray about where they're going. And yeah, like I said, last year we went to St. Kitts and St. Lucia, and that was that was a really neat time for me. That was one of the things that God put me into. When we went, I had no idea I would be leading that, and God made it very clear once we were there that he wanted me to be a part of that group that went and kind of head up the outreach time. And I love that. I didn't enjoy as much sitting in the classes, but I loved getting out and doing things in the community and being part of the local outreach. We went into there's a community in St. Croix called Paradise Mills. It's a government housing project. So we were a part of going into that community each week, playing with the children, doing sports, reading books to them, just hanging out with the kids. And that was, it's really a meaningful ministry to us. We saw a lot of kids come to our summer camps that we had been going to the projects and ministering to them and playing with them. We ran these camps this summer, and then we went into the community and said, hey, we want to bring you to our property and be a part of the camps. And it was so neat to see the parents, because we had the relationship, because we had built that with them, just releasing their kids to go. You know, we brought a van and took them all back to the property with us. And so it was neat to see the parents releasing their children to come in for the summer camps. And it's a time, you know, these housing projects are pretty rough. And so for them to get off their, out of the place and get into the property where we have a lot of people working there and just really showing them love and showing them Christ and modeling that to them. Jump in if you have anything to add. Okay. We went to an orphanage. We have an orphanage in St. Croix. It's called the Queen Louise Home. And the one group we had, we have a big triathlon every year in May. And the group called More Than Sport, they're out of Hawaii, they came and they raced in the triathlon. There was a couple of them that actually did the triathlon. And what their organization does is they go to a place and are a part of the athletic, whatever it is, a race or something else. And then they stay and they do something to bless the community after they've been there and been a part of the triathlon. So they ask us, what can we do in St. Croix to, you know, to bless the community? So we got hooked up with the orphanage, and the orphanage wants to do a bike path for the kids. But this huge playground was kind of right in the middle of where, that's all metal, it was kind of right in the middle where they want to build this bike path. So our job was to come in and dismantle this big playground. So it took 3 or 4 days, but we went in and tore it all down. And then we didn't get the bike path built. They're still working on that. But we were able to purchase all the bikes and helmets and some tricycles for for all the kids in the orphanage and bless them with that. So once their bike path gets built, they'll be able to use that. But that was this big project we did. And we did that. I went too far. We did that as a part of the discipleship training school. We have, yeah, I'll let Vanessa talk about the organic garden. We have a new discipleship training school starting in January. At the end of January, yeah, and that'll be a 5-month school. Vanessa and I are not going to be a part of that. We're going to be working with some other ministries. But the new one starts.
I will be the person putting people to work. So I do have a job, but it's not in the school.
Yeah, she'll be in charge of getting people to work duties. But if there's any of you young people that are trying to decide what to do with your life, it's a great way to kind of step back and see what God wants for you, you know, and just get a chance to do some mission work and then see where God's leading. We also have an outreach team from Kona, Hawaii. They'll be with us for 2 months. They're coming in December. I think there's 9 of them, and they'll be joining us in December for 2 months. So they'll be doing their outreach phase. They're in St. Croix, and we're going to get them connected with a lot of the ministries.
When our students will be taking their lecture phase.
Yeah, so we'll have quite a few people there the next couple months. This is all you.
This is all me. It's something I'm passionate about, but one of the things that the Lord really have put in my heart for the YWAM base down there is for us to become self-sufficient. Because cost of living is so high, food is so high, everything is so high, that my heart and my attitude is like, why not to grow it? Why not to put the time and the effort into self-sustain ourselves? And I was so blessed when I got there that a family already have arrived there. They were mission builders, and they actually did the DTS, and they decided to stay with us for the next 2 years. So I was extremely excited because he's the one that brought in the organic garden to the base. So he's actually, this will be our third, we call it a third grow. We already have done 2 grows, and then the ground, because it's so dry and rocky terrain, almost like sand-like, it's hard to grow things. And everyone that comes to the base said, how are you growing that in that dirt? And, you know, Bob often said, you know, by the grace of God and a lot of God just showing how to do things. But actually, these actually are the seedlings yet for this coming November. So we're in November, right? So I'm involved with that. As what I do is, hey, I would like you to try to grow, and then I give my list. He will tell me yes or no to the fact, well, maybe it'll grow, maybe it won't. A lot of it, yet it's a lot of experimenting, but I think in between the 2 harvests, we have got, according to Bob, not me, but according to Bob, about 1,000 pounds of vegetables already. So it has been, like last year, we saved so much money through our DTS because all our vegetables just came right through the garden. I didn't need it to purchase any. So that was exciting. We have now another guy that came in with the vision for us to do an aquaponics farm, meaning we will grow our vegetables in water. That will be fantastic. So we don't need dirt. So we are quite excited about that. That will be launching in January. That will be more for our basic lettuces, tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers. You know, I can go on and on. But
yeah, we have a young man from one of the churches there who is an Eagle Scout. And I guess for Eagle Scouts, they have to do a big project. Yep. And so his project is going to be to come and start this aquaponics system from the ground up.
To build it for us.
He's going to build it for us, and he's going to get it to operating for a couple months. So it's really exciting. He's really excited about doing it for us. So,
I got excited because I'm like, okay, more food.
And it's getting the people from the community involved, you know. Yep. And the idea with the aquaponics is that hopefully it'll be a small enough system that we can show other people, bring other people in, show them how it was built, and maybe some other people on the island can start building it and modeling it then that they can use it for themselves.
Yeah. And another lady that just came in as a staff, she's actually a nutritionist. So we've been going back and forth and just trying to figure out how everything just come together. But for us, the more we talk, the more we are gearing more of, we'll start in being self-sufficient, and then let's start bringing people from the community, okay, and then educate people. You can do this at home. It doesn't cost you a lot of money. It doesn't cost you. And so let's try to start kind of teaching people how to eat right. A lot of people don't eat a lot of vegetables in the island because they're actually expensive. So even
they're all imported. It's expensive. It's hard to grow them there. So
it's like, well, we have good soil in some places of the island. But it's, again, if people want to do it at home, it just makes it really hard. So anyway, but that's what we would like to do. And this is my baby. Sorry, I get so excited about this. This is my chicken coop. Actually, it's the church. It's the YOM-based chicken coop.
Yeah, it's not ours personally.
I know. But I got excited about this because talking to some people, I envisioning growing to eat. So we were very blessed to have a family that just said, hey, we'll help you out. And I'm like, awesome. So I got very excited. I got my peeps from the States. I have my 27 children came about a month ago. There they are. and actually, they'll be in the frying pan in about January, at the end of January. But the cool thing about this is that not only is teaching us as a base to be responsible, it's teaching our own children. Their children are involved on this. Actually, just last week, they took all the kids, got in there, chased all the chickens to clip their wings. And it's even like teaching them, this is what we're going to eat, but then this is how we have to care for them. And it's been working good. I mean, we were told that only one chicken we are not allowed to kill because
Kids named it and everything.
Yeah, they already named the chicken, so we have a problem with that.
I guess we'll let them have one pet.
So, but then actually, our layers just came in last week, so we actually, you don't have a picture of that.
I don't, no.
Our layers came in, so actually we will have eggs. We are really excited about that because, again, it will cut our cost. But it's been good for us as a base to know this not only is going to benefit us, but it's going to benefit the community because at one point or another, we're not going to be able to just have, especially eggs. I mean, we might just have to give some away. But we would like, at least for my part, I would like then to teach people in the community, you can have this in your own backyard. You don't have to have the nasty street chickens going around and doing stuff.
Yeah, some of you remember there's chickens running everywhere. Or as Hannah said earlier, the rooster under her window,
But our envisioning for this is we want to be self-sufficient. We want people in the island to start learning how to be self-sufficient and teach them from that point of view, you can do this. It is not that much hard work. And, and then ministry from that part. I actually had couple of ladies, we went to a seminar, and I got so many ladies that said, you should start a cooking class. And I'm like, maybe. Like, even that of just having people coming in, being part of the ministry, me teaching, I'm actually quite excited about it. I'm not a natural teacher, but if I am on my element, I think it comes natural. So I'm very excited to probably expand to that point where I could be teaching people how to eat better and how to do it in a good way.
Okay. The other ministry that I'm really passionate about and been involved in is the sports ministry. YWAM St. Croix didn't really have any sports ministry for the last couple of years. But since we've been there, God's starting to give me a vision for what he wants there. And we right now have a couple nights a week. I have anywhere from 10 to 20 guys coming to play basketball at the basketball court. Usually I set up a sound system, play some music. We have water, drinks down there. And it's been really neat just to start building relationships. You know, when our team was down here over the summer, that was kind of when it got going. And so they were able to be a part of that. And it's been really neat how it's progressing. I usually try and have a prayer time with them. We gather at some point throughout the afternoon when we're playing basketball and stop for prayer. And it's really amazing. None of them are really Christians, but they're all very respectful. When you say you're going to pray, they're all very respectful of it, and they listen. So I enjoy playing sports, so it's something that comes natural to me to be able to minister through doing that, you know, to be able to minister through the sports. This is a picture of a Rastafarian. It's a cult there in St. Croix. I won't go into a lot of details because it is a little hard to explain, a little confusing, but they believe there was a guy from Ethiopia, Haile Selassie, and they believe that he was basically God incarnate. They believe Jesus was just another prophet, but instead of Jesus, they believe in Haile Selassie. But you can recognize the Rastafarians by their dreadlocks. The colors they wear, usually green, yellow, and red, are what sets them apart. And then the long hair, the dreadlocks, and the smoking the marijuana, which this guy is doing. So that's kind of what sets them apart.
But to say that they use that to get into the Holy Spirit mode.
Yeah, they believe they tell that, you that. That's the way to read the Bible. But anyway, as a part of the sports ministry, I've started playing tennis with a Rastafarian. And it's been really neat. I play usually once a week or maybe twice a week with him. And I've developed, he's a good bit younger than me, but I've developed a friendship with him. And it's really cool. We have some really neat conversations. He's open to talking about whatever, so I can freely share with him without him being offended. He freely shares with me, and I don't get offended. But we've had some real interesting conversations. So he's somebody that God has really put on my heart. I'm praying a lot for him and just continuing to try to develop the relationship with him, and we'll see where it goes. He's a good kid, but he's just a little misled right now. And hopefully, just spending time with him and sharing with him, something will change in his heart.
He doesn't call Jason by his name. He say, "Hey, preacher."
Yeah, that's apparently a preacher. I'm a preacher. I think to anyone in the Caribbean, mostly, if you're a Christian, you're a preacher. So you get called preacher a lot. But yeah, that gives you an idea. His name's Dustin. That gives you an idea of who I play tennis with.
If you remember him, pray for him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. Anything else with the sports ministry? I think God's kind of given me, you know, we're starting with the basketball program, with the tennis. I don't know where the ministry's going overall, but I know God has a plan for it, and I'm just kind of walking little step by step and seeing where he'll take it. I think he has some really neat things in store for the sports ministry. It's a great way, like I said earlier, to connect with people just in a natural setting or just, you know, laid-back setting. I took the guys home from basketball. Usually they come from the community around us, and they usually walk there. The other night after basketball, I got the van. I said, "Hey, guys, jump in the van. I'll take you all home." So it was really neat. I got to talk to them a little bit without, you know, playing basketball. I got to see where they live. I got to kind of understand where they're coming from. And it was something so simple that, like that, just driving them home afterwards, it really blessed them. And just continuing to build the relationship. So the one guy the other week before we left, he said, "Hey, when you get back, we should all get together and watch a basketball game or something." So I think it's going to be neat. I'd love to see maybe a Bible study come out of it. But even just getting them into the house and watching a sporting event together and just, you know, hanging out with them, I think is a real possibility.
A father figure is very needed in the island.
Yeah.
A lot, I could not even tell you the percentage, but a lot of the kids are growing up without a dad, or dad is in the picture, but not really. And it is, even through sports, it's amazing to see how the kids relate to him on a, Jason have given them the respect of a father to a son, and how that just comes right back. And it's unbelievable just the simplicity of acknowledge who they are. And, you know, it goes right back to you where they just see Jason as, you know. I told Jason, one of the boys in there, every time I come down sometimes, he's like all the time, "Jason, Jason," just like a little five-year-old. And he's 16, and he's like, "Mr. Jason, Mr. Jason." It's like it constantly trying to get Jason's attention. And so that just tells you right there the need that they are of just having a good role model in their life.
You get that picture. All right. Another ministry that we're really involved in is the Lighthouse. This is a homeless ministry downtown in Christiansted. We do have quite a large homeless population there in St. Croix. But We feed, the Lighthouse is through the church, the church that we're a part of in St. Croix. This is the church that started the Lighthouse ministry. It's right downtown in one of the rougher sections of Christiansted. That was one of the things that attracted us about the church that we're a part of there, that they were involved in this ministry. So we were excited to be a part of that. But they serve breakfast 5 days a week. There's not quite as many people there that morning, but usually we have close to 30 people, guys and girls, that come in for breakfast. And then during breakfast time, we'll share devotions, or somebody will preach the word to them. And then we have a prayer time with them. So they come in and get breakfast. We also have, to the side of that, is called the clothing closet. And this is where I'm really involved. They can get a set of clothes. The guys come in on Friday mornings. They can get a shirt, pair of pants, whatever we have, socks. We have toiletries for them to get. They can, we have a hotel there on the island that supplies like little shampoos and toothpaste and whatever else they need. So they come in and they can pick out a set of clothes each week, and we serve them that way. Usually I'll help them, choose a shirt or something for them. And it's really neat. As I'm working with them, I get to, to learn some of their stories, to talk to them, and just kind of find out how they got to that point. And most of them are really open to talking about that. When I was growing up in St. Croix, we had a coffee shop. Youth with a Mission had a coffee shop right downtown. And a lot of homeless people would come in off the street. And I was only 10, 11 probably at that time. But this brings back a lot of memories for me, just ministering to that group of people and being a part of witnessing to their lives. This is my good friend Robin. He lives on a boat in the harbor. He has a boat. Not a very nice boat. But he's lived there for the last, maybe 15 years. He was on Wall Street at one point, and came down to St. Croix on a vacation, got hooked up with a girl, and started doing cocaine and alcohol, and he's just decides to live there now and doesn't have really anything except this little boat. He has a little dinghy that he rides back and forth to get into the land. But he's a neat guy. Him and I have become pretty good friends, and I've been able to speak into his life a little bit, and I think starting to build a relationship with him where he can respect some things I'm saying. So really praying that God works on his heart and starts changing his mentality.
We sometimes go to town, and our girls and, myself have been in town sometimes, and Robin's like, "Hey, you're Jason's, right?" And I was like, he doesn't say wife or nothing. "You're Jason's." And I said, "Yeah, I'm Jason's."
"She's mine."
I said, then he goes and said, "He's an awesome guy. He's my friend. He's your friend." And I said, "Yeah, he's my friend." But the fact is that even out of relation, like, they tend to know who you are, and they're so, I don't know.
It's a small island, so, yeah. You go anywhere, you see people, You don't go around without seeing too many people. We also have what we call Picnic in the Park. I think it's one Sunday a month. Yeah, our church goes down in the afternoon, serves all the homeless. They come in, and then usually somebody says a word, and so we can just kind of hang out with.
We have a local restaurant that donates food once a month, mm-hmm. for up to, they said, 40, 50 people.
Yeah.
So that's when they serve the dinner. And most of them do they know exactly when it is, so they do come and show up.
One last thing on the Lighthouse. It's really a neat ministry. We're also connected with a program in Atlanta, a rehab program, that if anybody wants to come to us, if anybody is willing to go, the program in St. Croix pays for their ticket to the rehab in Atlanta, and they will fly them there. It's a year-long program, and they get clean, and then they will put them in a job. They don't have a ticket back for them, because the worst thing that people can do is come back into the situation that they got out of. But we had a guy back in March. I served him quite a bit, got to know him. He was an alcoholic, and he went to rehab back in the spring, and he's there, and he's doing really well. So it's really exciting for us to see when people are willing to go. And all they have to do is say, "I want to go." So, the lifestyle that these people are living, a lot of it, unfortunately, is by choice, that they're there. And some of them have fallen on bad times, but they don't want to make the effort to get out of it. So a lot of it, what we pray for, is just change of heart, change of, their mentality that, hey, they can get out of this situation if if they're willing to put in the work and the effort. PWCW, Prayer and Worship Connecting the World. This is a ministry that we do right now. It's once a week. A lot of you guys got to be a part of it when you were there in St. Croix with us. We go right downtown by the harbor, and we just spend an hour praying, worshiping, reading scripture. And it's really a neat time. We invite other churches to come and be a part of it. It's not just for our staff. It's for anyone that wants to join. A lot of time people will be walking around downtown. They'll just kind of come over to see what's going on and, you know, what we're doing. Vanessa's made some neat relationships with some different people. You know, she kind of walks around and see if there's anybody close that she can go talk to, you know, while we're doing that. So, yeah, it's scripture reading. We're mostly praying specifically for the island of St. Croix in that time. That's what we're focusing on during that prayer time. And the unity among the churches, like I said, we do invite other churches. We have over 300 churches on St. Croix in such a small island. And I would say, you know, maybe two or three of them are willing to work together. There's just really no unity among the pastors and the churches there. And I'm not sure even why it's like that. But they're so concerned about their own.
It's a power struggle.
Yeah, they're really concerned about their own congregation and what they're, you know, how many people they have in the churches. And they don't want to share, you know, things like that. So one of our goals through this is to invite different churches, get people down and to know each other. And, you know, maybe we see some churches start working together, because that's really the only way that we're really going to change the island. You know, if all the churches are separate, it's going to be hard for anything to get accomplished there. I think that's our group, the Living Hope group. When they were down, we went out there. There's a big field there that the kids like to run around and play in while we're doing that. Sometimes we'll go down, the girls and Vanessa and I will go down a little bit early and just spend time reading our Bibles. The girls really enjoy that, you know, just scripture reading out loud. They take their Bibles and they each read a chapter out loud, and so we enjoy doing that once in a while by ourselves. These pictures were supposed to be with Hannah and Sophia when they were speaking, but this is them doing school. There, they're working in the kitchen, helping out. Picking up trash in
our community. We do clean up of the community once a month, because I cannot stand the trash. I just can't do it.
Yeah, so the girls really enjoy just working around the property and being a part of what's going on.
Can I talk about
it? Sure.
This is my neighbor. God bless her. She's from Trinidad. And she really, her grandkids are not even, they're not even growing up with her. They've been here in the States. And she often, when she's doing stuff, she will holler, trust me. What? So
that's the Caribbean thing to do, to stand in your backyards and yell at each other.
And I do very well with that.
I'm not used to that. I'm not used to that, but Vanessa's right at home. Just stand in her backyard and yell across the fence to the neighbor.
And I will be actually at my door. That will be, I don't know how many feet from where she will be standing, but we can holler pretty loud, and we can hear each other. But anyway, the girls really have taken on her, like, well, she's making something. Like, this day, she actually was making roti. Roti is a type of flatbread that in Trinidad, they, it's, you know, I don't know, it's just very common. But she was making it for a church, and then she says, I'm just doing so-and-so. You guys want to come? And sure enough, we went there, and the girls literally worked quite a bit hard. She does this, you know, all handmade. So it was fun for them, and they actually had a ball. And then they're like all the time, when are you making stuff? You know, like they're always looking to see when she's making stuff. So, but they have fun with her.
Yeah, and she's not a Christian, and so it's been a neat way just for the girls to be able to minister to her and just start showing her God's love and building a relationship with her.
And it's very common, again, in the Caribbean where people, she, for example, comes from a Hindu family, that they will go to church, but they still follow Hindu traditions. Like, Miss Angela goes to church every Sunday. She's involved in church. But she goes once a week to the Hindu temple and pray to Buddha, just with her beads. It's almost like there's no connection, really. Like, this is wrong and this is right. It's just, it's all interconnected.
Yeah, we have, like I said, we have over 300 churches, so almost everyone on the island goes to church.
It's the thing to
do. But it doesn't mean you have to be a Christian. I mean, I've had people say that. Yeah, we go to church, but we don't We're not Christians. But you just go to church because that's what your parents or grandparents did, and you're supposed to go to church. But there's no, you know, lifestyle or no relationship with the Lord there. So, all right. This was Hannah and Sophia. They did a mini triathlon. So that was them. They said they both like the warm weather and the beach. So they did a little mini triathlon and really enjoyed that. So, our pool project. I'm sure everyone that was in St. Croix is excited to hear how that's going. The Living Hope team that came down was a real blessing. It was, you know, they didn't only work on the pool. They did a lot of other things there for us around the property. They did some ministry in some of the communities that I was talking about earlier. But this is what the pool looked like kind of before the team came. It's been empty for about 4 years. And this was a little pool house that they built along the side for the pump or the pump house. They're grinding there. You can see some of the graffiti on the walls is starting to disappear. After they left, they had it all grinded down for us. We went and we had to fill in the bottom, so we're pouring in the bottom of the pool there. This is the coping tile around the edge. Putting up the waterline tile. Kind of get an overview of what it looks like there. And then last week, they started painting. So I haven't even seen the painting yet, but we're at the point now where all the walls, they said all the painting's done, the pump is installed, everything is ready to go, so it looks like next week they're going to start filling it with water. Finally, after 4 years. So, having a pool is nice. We get to go swimming. But it's also going to be used, 2 weeks ago? We had a little boy. A lot of the locals don't know how to swim. And they're afraid of water, believe it or not. They live on an island, but a lot of them just, they don't go to the beach a lot. And if they do, they don't get in the water.
Yeah. 3 weeks, what Jason just said, but 3 weeks ago, it was through a church that we were connected with, that we find out that kids went to the beach and they jump out of the pier. And this guy is a ninth grader. And
he never
told anyone that he cannot swim. He jumped in the ocean. He drowned.
A lot of you got to jump off the pier. That's where it happened, right where we were jumping. And he jumped off and drowned. And so one of the visions that we have for the pool is to bring kids in. When we're doing kids' camps and things, bring them in and have swimming lessons. We have a guy on staff who is a swimming instructor. So to bring them in and do lessons with the kids and stuff, that is one of the visions for the pool also.
And two other staff I know... I think me and another girl would like to get lifeguard certified so we can actually be part of that and just help with all the kids.
So it's been a blessing. Again, thank you to everyone that came and worked there. It was really encouragement for us to have you guys there, and we're just about ready to have the pool for use now. That's pretty much it for the ministries that we're involved with. That kind of gives you an idea of what we do, you know, on a week-to-week basis. I'll just give you a couple quick prayer requests, and I think we're about done. One of the challenges that we face, you saw all the people that we live with. Everyone comes from different places around the country, or, you know, around the United States, even from different countries. And we eat our meals together, we work together, we have our off time together. And it's a challenge. Unity among us is something that we face daily. People are always offending other people, whether they're trying it or not, you know. And just when you're that close to people, I mean, it happens here, you know, in your workplace or even maybe in the church setting where somebody says something that they don't mean, somebody takes it another way. And so daily, we're constantly dealing with coming home at night, saying, Lord, help us to lay down any offenses, anything people said today, you know, and just kind of forget about it. Because, man, when you live so close to people, little things add up. If you don't take care of them right away, all these little comments that somebody makes or that day that somebody did something to you, if you don't address it or if you don't pray about it right away, it adds up and suddenly you're like, why is this person here? What are they doing here? You know, and you just start to have this negative attitude towards them. And so we really struggle daily and weekly of just being able to release people of things that happen and being conscious of it ourselves too, because, you know, if there's a day where you come home and we're sitting there and we're like, huh, it was a pretty good day. Nobody really said anything. Nobody did anything. Nobody was grumpy today. I might have to look at myself and say, okay, usually there's a day where somebody's grumpy. So if it wasn't everybody else, it might have been me today. But So it's always good to look inward too, and, you know, make sure that we're not doing things to offend or just, you know, having the right attitude. But so unity is something that God has really put on our hearts, because all these ministries that we showed, you know, if we as a staff in St. Croix at Youth with a Mission on a small island where everybody sees us, if we can't get along, if we're having problems with ourselves, those ministries are going to struggle. You know, we can't go out and do that stuff if God isn't blessing our unity, and if we're not being a witness to the people on the island. If they see us fighting or talking negatively or gossiping about the people that we live with and work with, it's gonna really hinder what those ministries can do. So, you know, God really, the verse, there's a scripture in Psalms that God really has put on our hearts, that we've kind of taken hold of and just really, you know, understood the magnitude of it. And it's Psalms 133, and it says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured down on the beard, on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." So that's something that, yeah, just a little bit of a glimpse as to what we're dealing with as challenges. Some prayer requests. We're still really praying for meaningful friendships for Hannah and Sophia. There's a lot of kids Sophia's age. Hannah doesn't have a lot of children her age there, so she's still struggling to find some good friends. But we know that's coming. Health, we dealt with the dengue virus last year. I got really sick. We're coming into that time of year again where that's a very common thing from the mosquitoes.
We have to bathe with bug spray.
Yeah, take showers and bug spray. The homeschooling, that's going really well. Continue to pray for us for that.
You should share a little bit about that.
Over the next 2 months, our leaders are... The leaders of the base are they're going back to Brazil for 2 months just to take a furlough. They haven't been home in a couple years. So one of the things that I was saying, how God brought me into something that I didn't foresee when we moved there, they asked me to be a part of the leadership team there in St. Croix. So now that I'm a part of the leadership team, when the leaders leave, I'm going to be kind of in charge for the next 2 months. We have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of outreach teams coming, a lot of preparation for the new school that's starting. So yeah, just pray, especially prayer over the next 2 months. It's going to be pretty busy, and I'm going to be feeling a lot of the responsibility of the leadership there, which I'm excited about. I'm not concerned about it, but I know I'll need that extra prayer and protection over that time. And then for God to continue to reveal his vision to us for the island of St. Croix. You know, we have a lot of ministries going, a lot of things we're involved with, but we don't know what next year holds. We don't know how God wants those ministries to move forward, and we're excited about it, and just keep praying that we're open to hearing and, you know, always listening to what God has in store for us there. And thank you. We really appreciate being here today, you know, the opportunity to share. I know, it just really blesses us that we can share with you guys. A lot of you send us notes and stuff or emails or letters and just say, you know, you're thinking of us. It means so much to us and the girls when we get letters or emails. And we just, you know, really appreciate the team that came last year. We're looking forward to having a group from Living Hope again this year. It's hard to express how much that blesses us when people come from our home church. So, but yeah, that was it. I just, real briefly, I know it's getting late, but if anybody has any questions, something I covered, you know, I'd be glad to hear. Yeah, any questions, something that I didn't make clear, or something that's been on your mind that we might not have covered, feel free to ask a question and we'll answer it.
Do you have to pay rent?
Yes. We do, yeah. We pay to be a part of Youth with a Mission. We have to pay every month to be on staff there. And then we pay our electric and we pay our water and our gas bill and things like that. So we do have to pay the bills to be there. And we pay rent to YWAM every month to be a part of that. Good question. Anything else? Right. That's all we had. Again, we really appreciate it. So.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys. So that question about do you have to pay bills, that's a very good question, and it's a good reminder that missionaries do have expenses, and they're not paid. You don't have a do you get a paycheck from YWAM each week?
No, we don't.
You don't. Those of you familiar with that, you knew that answer before I asked it. But Jason and Vanessa do what they do. They're able to do what they do because of the financial support of people that believe in them and that give into their ministry. So I know that's an ongoing thing for you guys. So I know some of you are supporting them. If you are not but would like to, I know you can give a one-time gift. You can give an annual gift. You can give a monthly gift. There's all kinds of ways. I think I'm saying this correctly, that the more, if you can commit to a regular gift, that really helps them in planning their budget, because then they can count on, So I'm glad that came in right there at the end.
And we really appreciate the support Living Hope has given, and, you know, everyone that is supporting us, and it's been neat. Everyone is so generous, and we've been able to bless other people also that while we're there, you know, that with the blessings we're getting, we're able to pass some of that on to people. And it's been really encouraging for us, because it still feels good to give even when you're in a position of, you know, waiting on God to provide. So.
Yeah, that's cool. I hope you caught, as they were sharing, the things that they do. You know, one of the misconceptions that those who have never been in mission, and I'm in that group, at least not to this degree, but you have this misconception that the things that missionaries do are like super spiritual, like they read the Bible all day long, and then they go and they preach the gospel like 24 hours straight, and they're doing all these things that are so difficult that we could not, the ordinary people like us couldn't do them. But I hope you caught, as they were talking, they reach out to neighbors in simple ways. You have neighbors. You could play basketball with your neighbors. You could have your neighbors to your house to watch a basketball game. You could give your neighbors a ride. I mean, the simplest things that they do are all things that we can do also. So we really are in this together. So that's really a good encouragement. And, you know, just to hear your testimony specifically, Jason, of not knowing, and I remember you sharing that in the commissioning, like you really don't know what God has for you. I hope you got that lesson this morning, that that's okay. It's actually better if you don't know what God has for you rather than having it all figured out, because then God can show you what it is that he wants to do with you, and that is not just for missionaries, okay? You know that, right? That's not just for missionaries, but for all of us. Like, God, how do you want to use me in my community, in my workplace? What do you have for me this next year? Just to be open. So it's really a blessing to see what God is doing and hearing your testimony. And Jason, to see the ease with which you speak to us for 30 minutes like that. You know, I just, God is doing a lot in you, both. And it's really a blessing to see it. So let's do this. I'm sorry, can we reactivate the PowerPoint again? Can you get that back up there again, Wes? I want to go back to your prayer list.
Okay.
So we can do that. Maybe you have that shut down already. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. What we're going to do as we close, let's see, are there any specific instructions for the meal? Does anybody know? I guess other than if you're able to join us, the meal is going to be over in the gym. So I guess I'll just say make your way over there without too much delay. Would probably be helpful, I guess, to make your way over there. And okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Wes. So let's close this way. We do this sometimes. I'm going to ask you guys to come with me. We're going to go kind of out in the middle, and everybody else just stand and face us. And we're just going to pray a blessing on these guys again. Let's come on out here a little further. And so we're in the middle now. We're in the middle of the body. And come on, and if you want to stretch out a hand to them. And Well, Father, we are so thankful for Jason and Vanessa, and God, the way that you're using them and all that you're doing through them. Lord, we're encouraged just by and challenged by the steps of obedience they've taken, Lord, and the way that you have just shown to them all that you have. And Lord, we know you've just cracked the door open a little bit. There's so much more yet to come. So Father, specifically, I pray for unity, for the leaders, for the team. God, they said so well, when you live that closely with people, people are people. We all have personalities, and they're not all alike. We all have ideas and thoughts and opinions, and they're not all the same. So Lord, we pray for unity. God, I pray that you would bring a strengthening unity to the team. Then, Lord, also specifically for meaningful friendships for Hannah and Sophia. God, just provide the friendships that will really bless them in whatever form and whatever way you design, God, just to bless those precious daughters of Jason and Vanessa. Lord, for health, God, with the whole dengue thing and just the various things there. Jason really got hit with that last year. So, God, in the name of Jesus, we just pray a shield of protection around them, God. We pray a shield of protection around them from anything, Lord. We pray that you would give them good health, good strength to continue to lead and see serve the way they are called to there. God, for homeschooling, for that effort, Lord, bless them. Jason especially, as he's giving the majority of time and attention to that, God, bless them in that. Encourage them, give them wisdom for that. The leadership time over the next 2 months, with the leader being off the base, Jason stepping up into some additional roles there, God, bless him. Give him wisdom for that task also. And Lord, for you to continue, God, continue to reveal, continue to open that door at your pace to show them what it is you're calling them to and how it is you're using them. So Father, again, we commission again Jason and Vanessa to serve you, God, to serve you in this context, in this setting you've called them to. I pray your blessing on them as individuals, God, that their relationship with you would be strong. They would be reminded of your love. God, I pray your blessing on their marriage. Lord, with all the things that are going on in having leadership responsibility and having a team that they're a part of, God, strengthen their relationship so that nothing that's swirling around them would get in between them. God, strengthen their marriage, strengthen their family, their relationship as husband and wife and two daughters. God, the same prayer. Let nothing get in that relationship. God, cause them to grow stronger and cause their relationship to be deeper together. Use them, Lord. And then, God, in all you're calling them to, Lord, just let this moment be, again, a reminder of our love for them, our support for them. And God, we give them back to you again. We say, Lord, they're your servants. Continue to use them mightily. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, thanks for joining us this morning. You are dismissed.